body. God's going to restore his church. I feel like the Lord prophesied to us in this body, in this meeting I was in New York. There was prophecy went forth. It was very emphatic. Twice the Lord told us, I'm shaking this body. And twice he said, I'm taking you through a shaking. And warned us that we better get ready. Better get your life ready for a shaking is going to take place. God does that from time to time. He shakes he shakes and purges things. You know, did you know when you purge something, you can cause it to bring forth more fruit? You trim back everything that's not bringing forth fruit. Every once in a while, God has to judge situations. He has to bring a judgment on his kingdom, or if he's going to maintain his purpose, his direction. And so God has a purpose. What we're working in is something God's doing. This isn't something man's doing. And that's why man can't take a hold of it. You can't get your hands on it. You can't get a hold of this. When you come to the kingdom of God, you'll have to get humble. You'll have to humble down like a little child. Let me tell you how you come in the kingdom of God. You come in here and you throw up your hands and fall down on your knees and say, yes, Lord, I'll give my life over to you. I'll yield myself. When you humble down like that and you start taking instructions from God's ministry, God will begin to lift you up out of the depths of sin and begin to touch your life and help you and bless you. And as long as we can stay humble. I'll include myself in on this. Once you grow up to a place in this, you start getting a knowledge of it. You start seeing things. You start becoming aware. And that helps you begin to mature. It takes knowledge. It takes understanding to mature in the kingdom of God. For you to get mature, but there's something else happens in maturity, isn't there? How many of y'all have raised any children? You watched them mature, didn't you? Get up from little children. They grow up and they start maturing into young adults. What happens to them when they get to that place? There's a transition they go through where they start having to use their own mind and they start wrestling with what you've told them and what their mind is. You know, a little bit of experimenting. Maybe mom and dad's not exactly right. And you start seeing them moving some of the boundaries that you've set in their life, and it's scary to parents, isn't it? You think, oh God, what are they doing? I didn't raise them like that. What are they doing? Moving boundaries and moving these areas in their life. The children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, they did good as long as they had the leader Moses helping them. But when God wanted to take them a little higher, and he took Moses up on the mount, and while he was up there on the mount, and they didn't have the proper leadership, what happened to them? They started getting their own mind, their own ideas, and they built them a calf, just like the false god that Egypt had. And they started worshiping that thing, and this didn't take them but about 40 days. Didn't take them very long to get discouraged. They wasn't very mature. But did you know that they got to rejoicing in that? When Moses came down off the hill, they was shouting, hallelujah! They was shouting and praising that golden calf. Do you know when you give over to your own mind and you give over to your own ideologies, there's a glorying in the flesh. There's a rejoicing in the flesh when you give over to the liberty of doing whatever your mind says to do. Whatever you want to do. There's a rejoicing in it. There's a good feeling in it. fact, there's people made religions out of that. Men get ideologies and preach them to other people and get people in the same spirit they're in. And in fact, that's how iniquity works. That's how people work iniquity. They get off in their own mind, their own ideology, their own spirit, and get other people influenced in that, and it works iniquity in the kingdom of God. That's how they talked Aaron into building the calf. Of course, he said they was the one who talked him into it. He must not have been too far from it himself. But anyway, one of the questions that came up in this meeting was, why did there have to be a Judas? We know Jesus had to die, but why did there have to be one of the twelve? Why did there have to be a Judas in the group? It was interesting to listen to the answers, or the attempted answers that came out on that. Somebody said, you know, why would it did it have to be his friend? Psalms 55. Have I got blessed? No. Yes. Yeah, 11th verse says, wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. This is Jesus prophesying. He said, it wasn't an enemy that came against me. I could have stood that. Somebody that I knew was my enemy. I could have stood that. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal. Jesus even called him my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Jesus, it bothered him. Even though Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him from the beginning. Somebody said if he had told Peter, he's the one. That Peter, when he wouldn't have cut the soldier's ear off, he'd have slew Judas. But Jesus had to bear that. He had to bear with that betrayal that he saw working. Did y'all know that there's something that works in us? That's one of the reasons I don't ever want to purge that completely out of the church unless God purges it. Now, when God purges something, I'll stand with him. Don't judge anything till Jesus comes. But I want betrayal and heresy. Jesus said heresy must come. I want it to work in here until it accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. We've got to bear with things in here and let things work on us and let God work experiences in us. God does that in the body of Christ. He gives us practical lessons. They're going forth all the time in here if you have eyes to see. And if you don't have eyes to see, then you'll be affected by it. But that's for everybody else to see. Somebody said the birthstone of the body is the grindstone. Well, I don't want to be a grindstone. But I know that I have been a grindstone at times. That's why I want there to be enough mercy in the house of God to save everybody that can be saved, including me. In my folly, my ignorance. I am learning. I'll tell you something, one place God's got me right now. and that is to honor my elders and to reverence the ministry that God set over my life and not to rise up against them. I don't care if I don't agree with them. I'm not going to have a rebellious spirit to rise up against my elders. If God will help me, I want to have a spirit, because I know God chose those men. And don't you know God's able to change men? See what happens. Let me tell you what happens. People get to thinking that it's just men. It's just men's ideas. It's just men's traditions. It's just men's teachings. And they get to thinking God's not in control. You know, God's just letting this thing flop in the wind whichever way he wants it to go. They don't really believe that there's a sanctioned ministry that God set in order. When you get in that place, you're in a dangerous place, because you've set yourself up above everything that God's put in leadership. But if God can help us to stay humble, and, you know, when I was in my daddy's house, I had to do what my daddy said. When I got big enough, I got old enough, I started trying a few things that I didn't think daddy knew what he's talking about on. Of course, y'all all know the old story, how the longer I lived, the smarter daddy got. Smarter. Yeah, it's amazing how intelligent he is now. I wished he was here so I could tell him how smart I found out he is. But and the men of God that's brought us to where we're at, thank God for where we're at, what God has brought us to. For the men of God, there is a betrayer. You know, in other words, there, Jesus had to suffer two things. I know that one, if you ever mature very high in God, you'll have to get to a place. God will give you power. We read that this morning in the 6th chapter of the book of Corinthians, that the red horse rider, power was given to him. Let me tell you something. When you get the Word of God, there's power given to you. When you get an understanding of the Word of God, you've got power in your life. You've got power to rule over situations and circumstances. There's a power in faith that'll help you overcome things. But if you don't have enough wisdom, there's also a power to kill. You can take the Word of God, you can twist it around. I've had this happen in my ministry. I've been pastor now for 30 years, and I've seen a lot of things come and go, and I've had this happen in my ministry. One of the things I've learned is you can almost never help a man's wife if he's in church. He'll turn her head every time. If he makes up his mind to go against you or do whatever he decides to do, he'll almost every time turn his wife. You can't hardly help a woman that's under a man like that. I've learned that. I've quit trying to help women. Unless they really get a hold of God and God touches them, I've just seen a handful of women hold steady when their husbands go through things. Most of the time, I saw that happen to my own daughter-in-law. I thought I could hold her one time. When my son got wavery, brother, he turned her head. She turned her mind away from me one time. I'm not belittling her for that. It's just a fact. She loved him. He loved her. She loved him enough, she just couldn't leave him. I wasn't trying to get her to leave him, but he was wavering. She got to where I couldn't counsel with her because she was afraid of losing her husband. And I think men, I think it is a dangerous thing when a minister has more power over your wife than you've got. I think that's dangerous. I don't think it's dangerous when a ministry does, but when a minister does, I think it's dangerous. I think that's another thing, is I think every minister in this body ought to be planting people in this ministry of the body of Christ and not in themselves. If you plant a church in yourself, that church will go awry when you die. Or you can take them out of the body if something happens to you. It's the same thing with a home. If you don't get your family, if you don't help them get planted in this vision, you can't, you know, I'm going to stay in this. I've always been taught by my elders, if I ever leave this, don't you follow me, they told me. You remember Brother Tucker saying that? if I ever leave this ministry, don't you follow me. Brother Patton said it too. Brother Leninger said it. I'm telling you the same thing. If I ever leave this brotherhood, don't you follow me out of this. And I hope I planted my family in that, because I myself am dangerous. Because every one of us rise up. Every one of us get to a place where if you get enough of God in your life, you can build your own kingdom. Do you know that? I've seen men do that. They get enough of God in their life, they can settle their own family and even anyone they've got influence in. They can begin to build something in iniquity against the kingdom of God and the power of God. That can happen. And everyone has to go through that temptation. Jesus did. The serpent, Satan told Jesus, he said, "Fall down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." You fall down, bow down and worship this ego, this deceitful spirit in you. You let that rise up in you. Give over to that. That's what you'll think. You'll think, "I can do my own deal. I can do whatever I want to. I don't have to listen to nobody. I'm sick of people telling me what to do anyway." Yeah, that's a dangerous spirit, you know what? But let me read you a scripture. Let me give you another scripture while we're here in Psalms. Turn to 41. Psalms 41. Psalms 41:9 says, "Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Be thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite him." Jesus realized that his friend, the one he trusted, he put some trust. Even though he knew that Judas was going to betray him, there evidently were some times that he thought he may overcome this. There's some good things working in him. I've seen the power of God working in him. I saw him take a hold of this thing. I saw him really receiving this. And I trusted in certain things in his life. And that's what's killing me. You know, that's what that is. That's a difficult thing, is to take it. And that's what God has to know about you. God has to know, are you going to love someone's person over me? Are you going to give over to someone's... You know, some people can't even leave a family to serve God. They're so bound to a family that they can't leave the ties of a family. When Elijah touched Elisha, Elisha said, "Let me go home and tell my mom and daddy goodbye." Said, "I'm leaving everything. I'm going with you. Nothing is going to separate me from you. You're not getting out of my sight." Ruth had the same testimony. When God touched her and showed her the people of God, she said, I'm going with you. Your God's going to be my God. Entreat me not to leave you. Where you die, I'll die. I'm committed 100% to this revelation God gave me of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God God's done something in our hearts. He's gave us something. He put something down deep inside of us that made us to know this is the body of Christ, the restoring church that He's doing and working on today. Hallelujah, and I cannot leave it. That's what He puts in your heart when you get it. I don't mean you can't leave it. Don't mean that Judas can't rise up in you. You could. A betrayer could rise up in every one of our hearts. We've got to overcome that. If we're going to be in the bride of Christ, we have to overcome those kind of temptations. We've got to succumb to the ministry of God. Look in Romans, the 13th chapter. I really had some other things I was going to say when I got up here, but I'll just go on with these. It's working in my mind now. Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He's a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For that he loveth another, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So, the Lord talked to us on this in the meeting in New York to have the right spirit, to be humble, let God, you know, I believe that. The Bible teaches us, it teaches women to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Servants, submit to your masters as unto the Lord. That's a hard thing, do you know that? To trust God enough that if I'll follow your order, that you'll protect me. That's what you're believing. You're believing God. If I follow a man that you've put authority in authority over my life, you'll protect me if I'll trust, serve him as doing it to you. And you'll watch over me, and you'll not let harm come to me. You may go through some things too doing that. You know, I found out when you're trusting God, he'll let you go through a lot of things. Sometimes he'll let you go through hurts. It's just like Jesus. He went through the hurt of a betrayer. Somebody he loved. Somebody he cared about. Somebody he considered a friend. It hurt him when he saw the wrong spirit in that man. That was killing him. If it had been an enemy, it had been easy to take. But somebody, my own friend. You know, that can work compromise in you. It can work compromise in you to try to change God's laws. That was one of the things God told Moses to tell Aaron in judgment, that you don't give over to anybody's person. You don't judge. You don't let personality, don't let politics get involved. And sometimes we do that. I've seen ministers do that. They have rules for the church, but when their own kids start breaking them rules, they start changing the rules. You ever seen that? Has that ever happened anywhere you ever been where preachers was pretty hard on the congregation, but when it came to their kids breaking some of the rules, they started being a little lighter on some things? I've seen that happen. I know that's not right. but in that, God has to put us through those things, that we stand for righteousness. Yet we have mercy. We're full of mercy and the love of God. Even though he gives these things of following, giving custom to whom customs do. Traditions. I'm thankful for the traditions of this body. There's traditions we hold in here. Here's another thing God told us in the ministers in the meeting. And y'all need to hear this. There's in the every Pentecostal. See, God's brought us through a restoration process up to the Pentecostal era, which I think we're out of the Pentecostal era. We're working in a divine order era. It's a process. We're not just down in... It's not just a Pentecostal time frame right now. God's requiring some white hairs to come up, but every Pentecostal group of people that have lost their standard of holiness, their traditions and customs of holiness, have lost the Spirit of God right out of their midst. It's that. The time frame of the Pentecostal era, the history speaks for itself. I came up in the Assemblies of God. There's just home folks here today, so I'll talk plainer. I was raised in the Assemblies of God. And when my mom and daddy brought me in that, they were a strict holiness Pentecostal group of people. But they started compromising on their standards and on their traditions of holiness. And when they did, God, the Spirit of God, just began to leak out of their midst. And they just kept compromising, and today they don't have any holiness standards. They're just no different than charismatic groups. There's not really anything holiness among them. In fact, if you go to some of their churches today, they'll be wearing, there'll be men in there in shorts, Bermuda shorts, T-shirts, all kinds of dress. You would think you're at a ball game somewhere. There's no reverence for the house of God or the people of God. There's a reason that God puts these things on us. One of the things is to clean us up. You know, when you just give over to the flesh and let the flesh do whatever it wants to do. I asked somebody in New York, I said, and I've asked y'all the same thing here. Why did God put hair on your head? How come these girls have got hair growing all the way down past their shoulders? Why does hair grow on your head? Why didn't God just make us all bald-headed? We'd have thought we was pretty bald-headed if that's all we ever saw. We'd have just made pretty out of something, you know. I mean, long noses or something. We'd have figured something out that, you know, we gave over to that being pretty. God put hair on your head because it the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You got to do something with it. You have to do something with it. If I don't do something with mine be as long as Rachel's. It'll come down. It'd be, you know, I'd be having hair like a woman for long. But I have to do something with it. And what I do with it shows something about my spirit. Show something about what's in me. Can't you see that out here? When the Beatles come to America, I'm telling you, it made people mad. I'm telling you, all the old heads, and hey, they didn't have long hair compared to today's standard. He just needed to comb it down, didn't he? But you know, when you look out here at all these, you know, I've seen just this week in the airports, I've seen old men, gray-headed old men with ponytails. They're rebelling against society, but that's the way that they think they ought to do. They just think there ain't nothing wrong with it. They got pony, you know, pull it back just like one, put a rubber band around it, and got long ponytail. Well, society don't really accept that, but we accept the fact that it's their hair. They can do what they want with it, in America anyway. And they can get by with doing their own thing. There used to be a song like that. It's your thing, baby. Do what you're going to do. Don't go no further. I can't help it. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I come out of the world. Well, there's a book out. This is a little bit nicer. It says, you're okay and I'm okay. It's the whole deal on that book is do whatever you feel like doing. But I thank God, you know, that that we've had men that's held on to God and kept the Spirit of God flowing in our midst. Why don't people out there have the Spirit of God like you find in here? It's not in the same measure. It's different. I can tell you, I was out there. I came in here from out there, and I know I made a big circle out there looking for this. The Spirit of God that works in here is because men found principles to keep a people clean. Now, will those things make you perfect? No. But it helps you keep enough of the flesh, giving over to the flesh. It keeps enough restraint in your life to where God can work in your life. And then you begin to get a message that goes with that to overcome the old nature, the old man, the deceitful things of the flesh, vain glory, pride, giving over to self. That's what we've got to overcome, our selfishness, our own desires that aren't righteous. But God, to help us find righteousness, that's what I'm working on right now, is to make room for God in my life. I want to make more room for Him. For Him to abide. I want Him to make His abode with me. It's not too big a price to pay for me to push things back out of my life and say, God, let me spend some time in prayer with You. Let me take some time out today to pray and talk to You. Let me take some time out to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God a little bit. Get down on my knees and pray a little while. Let me push some things back, some recreation, and things may not even be sin, but let me make more room for You to abide in me. Did you know if you fall in love with God, He becomes your friend? You'll want to spend more time with Him. You'll want to hear His voice more often. I'll tell you, I got in a place coming back from the convention center in the car. I thought I was going to have to pull over and stop. But I got into a union with God the Father for a little while. I just talking to Him. Seemed like Jesus was right there saying, go on, talk to Him. Talk to Him. I'm enjoying this. I wish You'd talk to Daddy more than this. He wants to know more about You. He wants to get to know You better. I thought, oh God, You're to make Your abode with me. I need more of You. I need You in my life more than what I've got. And I need Your workings in my life more. Your righteousness in my life more. I know I'm not focusing on restraining the flesh. I'm focusing on getting more of Him. Getting more of Him in my life. But I know there's some secrets of how to do it. I know the men of God has helped us to push some certain things out. Oh, Lamb of God. I want us to make it. I want God working in our midst. I want God to accomplish His good pleasure in all of us. I want to see Him, His righteousness abound. There's conditions in the world, in our lives. Right now, there's conditions in our life that we need God's help in. Conditions in our family's life. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to stand for righteousness sometimes. It's hard to stand for the truth. A lie will never fit. It'll never fit where the truth belongs. You'll never accomplish anything holding on to a lie or trying to protect a lie or cover a lie up. But the truth. God's truth. The truth. It'll always prevail. You may go through some suffering because truth brings judgment. And it'll bring suffering because it reveals the flesh. It reveals guile and things that are wrong. And suffering goes with that. But when you get through the suffering, when you get finally to a place where the truth don't hurt, oh God, finally where the truth don't hit you, wouldn't you like to get to a place where God could shine a light on you all around you and every little crook and cranny, and he can't find anything? There's not anything that needs fixed. Oh God, hallelujah, to live above condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If we can get in Him and abide in Him, stay in Him, there's nothing to condemn. There's no condemnation on righteousness. There's no law against righteousness. Hallelujah. All right, I've probably said enough here, at least we'll water this down tonight. It maybe make it a little easier to swallow. But I just want you to consider more of God, more of Him. Do what can you make more room for Him to abide in your life? Can you push a few things back out of the way? We need to fast more. Push the flesh back a little bit. Just restrain it. Seek God a little bit more. Oh God, precious Savior. All right. Let's have a song before we go eat dinner. Here, put that, if you're going to get up, put that under the pulpit.
Won't you come inside?
Fill up all my being, ever to abide. I've opened all my windows and thrown wide every door.
Come inside, dear Lord, I need you more and more and more. Lord, my heart is open. Won't you come inside? Fill up all my being.
All right. Let me make a couple announcements. I announced a singing, gospel singing for the 26th, didn't I? And it's, that date is just not going to work out. There's just so many that can't be here. And then I've got something every weekend. We're going to have to move it. We're going to have to move it to November the 7th. That's the earliest date we can have it, from September the 26th. So change it on your calendar. To November the 7th. Maybe we've announced it that far ahead. We'll be able to make it work for us. 7 o'clock Saturday night. And we'll have food afterwards. So bring people for food, fellowship, singing and fellowship. Sister Elsie Ratliff needs a washing machine. If anybody's got an old washing machine that works for sale, she can't afford a new one right now, so hers has went out. So if you can help her, or know of anybody that's got one, we'll let her know. Any other announcements that we need to make before we eat? Band practice at 4 o'clock. All right, let's pray for the food and fellowship downstairs and for tonight's service. And the seniors can go ahead and start making their way downstairs if you'd like. All right, dear God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Oh, God, bless our time together. We give you thanks for the food. God, oh God, bless this assembly and help each one, Lord. Oh God, we give you praise. Bless our service tonight, Father. Amen, amen. One more thing. Brother, Sister Durham applied for a job this week. So pray. And then Brother Durham's putting in for his retirement. They're going to be moving. Their house still hasn't sold. It's one of those deals where they bought a new home and the economy, it's not worth, really. The houses are selling for less money that's the same size and all, so it's difficult for them to sell it. But pray God will help them, make a way for them to get free of that, their home. Brother Mark Boyd and Sister Boyd's gone to Republic this weekend. Pray for them. They're still trying to make this transition. All right. God bless you.